Lessons from God's Coming Judgments. We'll begin today's edition of Chapter and Verse with this thought from Mike McIntosh.
For in them the wrath of God is completed. Seven angels, seven last plagues, the wrath of God is completed. So that's what this chapter is going to talk to us about. These seven angels, and then the judgments that come. How important it is for us to understand these judgments are against people that serve the devil, hate God, and will not repent of their sins no matter what.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
The judgment of God upon a wicked world is not a pleasant subject, but God's response to unrepentant evil is inevitable, and unfolding judgment plays a large part in the story told in the book of Revelation. Today on Chapter and Verse, we turn our attention to the 15th and 16th chapters, where a series of seven bold judgments of wrath are being poured out in the act of total judgment. Let's continue our studies now as we join Mike McIntosh.
For in them the wrath of God is completed. Seven angels, seven last plagues, the wrath of God is completed. So that's what this chapter is going to talk to us about. These seven angels, and then the judgments that come. How important it is for us to understand. These judgments are against people that serve the devil, hate God, and will not repent of their sins no matter what. They bring it upon themselves because he created them for his good pleasure and they don't want anything to do with him. It'd be like you being a parent and you get a kid that just doesn't want anything to do with you and just treats you horribly. Doesn't mean you're going to judge them, but you can understand the feelings. So let's look at that very closely. I saw something like the sea of glass mingled with fire. Those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark. So these are people that make it. And over the number of his name, standing on a sea of glass, having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. I'd like us all to stand up right now, and I'd like to read that song together. And look at the quality of character that Moses reveals to us of how we should stand and worship God. Will you read it out loud with me? Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you. For your judgments have been manifested. So, Lord, I pray you would sink that into my brothers and sisters' hearts. That in that song, we see him saying how justified you are for what you are doing. Your ways are just. Your ways are true. Who shall fear you? They don't fear you. We do. Who should glorify your name? They won't glorify your name. We do. Only you are holy. And then he says that the nations are going to come to you. Bless my brothers and sisters that we can adopt this character of how we speak about you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. After these things, I looked and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And out of the temple came the seven angels having the seven plagues clothed in pure bright linen, having their chests girded with golden bands. And then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of wrath of God who lives forever and ever. Now, we stop and we think, the wrath of God. But then you see these angels come out, and they've got golden bowls. I mean, God's wrath is going to be poured out in a pure golden bowl. We don't know how big this bowl is. And you'll see why I bring that up. But what God is going to do is just going to be amazing. I looked, and behold, the tabernacle was open. One of the four living creatures, called the seven angels, the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God. How his glory brings smoke, I don't know. But I want you to look closely. The temple is filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And note this, no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. No one. However, whatever reason, God has put a space of time at halt that nobody could go in because of his glory and his power. There's always room in heaven for you. And this is a standstill time for those of us that will be in heaven looking down, and for those that are on earth looking up saying, what is going on in the world today? And that's being said a lot around the world today. There's always room in heaven for you and the people you love because God loves you. Don't ever forget that. If you turn away from God and you walk into the darkness again, don't ever forget God loves you. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple, chapter 16, verse 1, saying to now directly to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. Here's the first bowl. This is the first one that's going to strike down to earth. The first bowl comes, and it has a horrible sore. It pours out upon the earth a foul. It smells, it's stinky, it's ugly, it's loathsome sore. Come upon men who had the mark of the beast and those who worship his image. That's going to be people with things all over their bodies, walking down the street, all over their faces. If you were here, you wouldn't want to be around them. That's just the beginning. Then the second bowl comes with the second angel, and look what he has. He poured a bowl on the sea. Now, about 3/4 of the earth is sea. And all the sea came as blood of a dead man. And every, not a few or some or millions, but every living creature in the sea did what? Died. Imagine that. Now imagine all those whales, all those porpoises, all those sharks, all those crabs and lobsters, everything floating up to the top now, and the stench that's going out through the earth. And it's blood red. The third bowl comes out. This angel pours out his bowl onto the rivers and the springs of water. They became like blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying something. So he got two bowls that his judgment shows up in the ocean as blood, and the rivers and the springs as blood. Now in Israel, there is a spring that sputters up out where the tribe of Dan was, and you can see it today, and it gets bubbling, gurgling, and it gets wider and stronger, and it starts flowing. It's one of the heads of the Jordan River. In Jericho, there's a spring down there in the desert, and just the basin is dry, sometimes 120 plus degrees in the summertime down there. The Dead Sea is down there, lowest place on earth. And there's a spring that God planned that it would always be coming up for the people in the area of Jericho. And that was the first city that God gave to the Israelites when they came across the Jordan River, was Jericho. Then when they went for the second city on their own without God, they lost the city of Ai. So now you got this ugliness. We need air and we need water. We can figure out if we can eat bark of a tree or something, but without air and without water, we're in trouble. Now the earth is in trouble. So I'd like you to stand one more time. This is to give your knees a lot of exercise. And this is the angel of the waters saying something. And I want you to get this into your mind because he's explaining why the judgments. And when you get people say, well, I couldn't believe in a wrathful God, remember, These are not God's kids. These are the devil's kids. And we've read three places where in Revelation alone it says they would not repent of their sins. And they cursed and blasphemed God. So let's read this out together loudly too. You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is, who was, and who is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due. Lord, we pray for the Christians in China. We pray for the Christians that are being tortured in Iran. We pray for those that are suffering in Russia, Cuba, and in other countries. I pray for the Christians that were arrested, the missionaries from Calvary Chapel that are in Libya. I'd like to pray you'd continue releasing all of them. Pray, Lord, for all those that are suffering, for being called spies or whatever thing, around the world. And you said this is their just due because they shed the blood of your saints. We want to remember that, Lord. You are righteous. You have right to judge. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're almost finished. You can be seated. So I heard another from the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. That's an oath. You need to mark that in your Bible. That's an oath. That God, this is defense. If you're in a court of law and somebody said something evil about God, you could stand up and use this as your oath of truth. That God Almighty is true and righteous in his judgments. He's not doing unrighteous and untrue judgments. And then the fourth angel pours out his bowl. And this one's an interesting one because he pours it on the sun. Now our sun is 93 million miles from here. And tomorrow when you see the sun, you've got old light. It takes 8 minutes for the light to get to Romaland. And it is so huge. It's enormous. But there are stars that are finding now with the Webb telescope that are huge, that make our sun look like the Earth compared to our sun. It's huge, our sun is. And we're going to see something else about the sun in a minute. But I don't know if he had a teaspoon bowl or a cup bowl or if he had a gallon bowl or if he had several acres of wrath in it. But he pours it on the sun, and we get our life from the sun. And all life comes with the sunlight on this planet. So this is a big one. When he does that, look what happens. The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent. There you go again. His justice is right. His judgment is true. They did not repent and give him glory. They wanted to die apart from God. Now, I was at 9/11. I was on a special disaster response team when the towers went down. And there was 26 of us trained by the federal government, and security clearance from the Congress said no individual or organization could stop our forward progress. We were there for spiritual care. And we were a little bit different than a regular chaplain. And one night, it was a Sunday night, I'd been working at the morgue for 4 days, I guess. And I went down to Ground Zero, and I saw the fire chief. And I walked over to him and introduced myself and showed him my ID and said, I'm bringing chaplains around, hand-picking them from all over the country. And I know that you have different needs than law enforcement, and I'd like to help you, because I do have law enforcement here that could help you, but I'd like to make sure you get the best in the country for fire chaplains. And this broken man, he said, you see those people standing right there? And there was a tent, white tent like you'd have at a picnic or a birthday party in your backyard or a wedding. And I don't know, a couple dozen with epaulettes and spaghetti on their hats and stars. And he said, Mike, that's all I have left of all of my management. I lost over 300 friends when the towers went down. Almost my entire management staff was killed and 300 and plus died. He said, could you put a chaplain there 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, until this hellish action is finished? I said, absolutely. Glad to, sir. Glad to. I think of this scorching. When's the last time you prayed for a fireman? They've seen and smelled things that you and I don't want to see and smell. They live with it their whole life. Same with police officers. They drive by us with their sirens on. The ambulance goes by. The EMT workers, all of them. Do you ever pray for them? Because imagine when there is no services available because all the systems of the nations are broken, that no fireman's going to come and help this scorch or any doctor is going to ooze the pain and soothe it. I think it's really important we start praying for those little things that are around us all day long that aren't going to be here. It's kind of a scary thing when you think of that. How sad it's going to be for these people, and some of them could be our family members. We don't want that to be. The fourth angel poured out his blood on the sun. Men were scorched. They blasphemed God. The fifth angel pours out his bowl on the throne of the beast and on his kingdom. And look what happens. Darkness covered it all. The whole world goes dark in his kingdom. All of his politicians go dark. The military goes dark. Everybody goes dark. And they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. Now, gnawing your tongue would cause a lot of pain. So why would you be chewing on your tongue if you've got pain? Because it's going to cause more pain. So it shows insanity is clicking in now with the masses. This is a slight thing, but it's just something to remember. People that are in pain. You might have friends that are in pain. It's a horrible thing to live with pain. So he pours out, and they gnaw their tongues. And look what happens in verse 11. We're just about done. They blaspheme the God of heaven. They still aren't repenting because of their pains, their sores, and they did not repent of their sins or their deeds. This is how hard these people's hearts are. And if you're in pain, let me tell you, because I've suffered for 35 years nonstop with pain, you don't curse God, you bless God. You don't look at the negative and, oh, if only you were really up there and cared. It has nothing to do with him caring or not caring. It has everything to do with my heart, how I'm going to respond to whatever comes my way. There's a day I would have grabbed a fifth of Jack Daniels and, okay, good. I'll be at work on time, but I won't be doing too well about my eighth or ninth hour when I get home. Mm-mm. You stand with the Lord because he felt every bit of my pain and your pain and your suffering. And your agony, and the failures, and the backsliding, and the stupid things we did. He took it all. His judgment is righteous and true. We don't curse him because of it. We honor him because he honors us by giving us eternal life. So this is kind of scary. This last thing, they didn't repent of their sins. Verse 12. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the river Euphrates. The water dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. I'd like to show you a map right now, if I could, Spencer. Isn't that a great map? Way over here. Did you take Israel away? You did. It's by what? No, that's Caspian Sea. Oh, down here? No. It's over here somewhere. Okay, somewhere in that area is Israel. Off the map, I think. I don't see it. Here's Iran. Because it should be right next to Syria and Jordan. So, but anyhow, here's why I want you to see this. I have been thinking for decades, and others have too, that it's China, the king of the east, but it's kings plural. And all of these countries, pretty much all of them, hate Israel. And they're of the east, even northeast Russia, over here. There's Mongolia, here's China. There's India. They can man 200 million troops today. And that's the number that is going to come marching with the kings of the East. But the kings of India, Bangladesh, Islamabad, Pakistan, Kabul, Afghanistan, Iran, Turkestan, Kazakhstan, and over here you got Syria, Jordan. They're all going to be coming. All of those people are going to be coming. And all of them are pretty much represented on the borders of Israel tonight. Did you know that? Not just the Russians and the Syrians. The Iranians are there, and the Stan states are there, and the Turks are there. So they is going against about that much land compared to that map, and the Lord's going to win. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. Praise the Lord. So let's close. I can tell you're tired. You want to have your ice cream and go to bed and cuddle up with your pillow and your sleeping bag. Behold, Jesus says, verse 15, I come as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and see his shame. They gathered themselves into a place in the Hebrew called Harmageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, the last judgment. A loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, it is finished. Same thing as on the cross. It is done. There were noises, thunders, lightnings. Listen to this. A great earthquake, so mighty and powerful, a great earthquake has never occurred since men were on the earth. It divided the city into three parts. Now, last week we saw 7,000 people die. The cities of the nations fell, and the great Babylon remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. When every island fled away, and the mountains were no longer found, the earth is just crumbling, it's falling apart. Great hail from heaven fell upon men. Each hailstone, the weight of a talent. Now, weight of a talent is between 100 and 200 pounds. Imagine a 200-pound, just one hailstone, coming from thousands of feet up and just crashing through this building. Now, do that with 100 things coming. This building wouldn't exist within 5 minutes. This is going to be all over the globe. The weather is getting so out of hand. All the islands disappear. And the mountains were no longer found. The hailstones come. And instead of repenting, look what they do. Men blaspheme God because of the plague and of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. They just can't bring it into their hearts to say, God, forgive me. I'm so sorry that I've caused this to happen. Stay humble before the King, and he'll bless you, and he'll honor you. And don't put yourself down. You had enough of that. Let him lift you up. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will exalt you in due time. And when you thought you're good for nothing, you're really good for something. And let the Lord show you and do it through you, and you'll have a ball. It'll be fun because you were created for this. You just didn't know how to find this and how to walk in it. And so you went and did what you thought you'd do. Then you thought, oh, this is kind of boring. God blesses you, and he wants to bless you more. I can't tell you enough how much God loves you. He does. He's madly in love with you. He'll never stop loving you. And you can't get past your grandmother's prayers. Many of you have grandmothers been praying for you. God loves grandmas and grandpas. And he loves the big children that used to be little children. And except we become like little children, we'll never make it into heaven. Otherwise, it's that simple. If we can just let go of ourselves and just be happy as a child and accept what it is, his love will overwhelm you. And his love covers a multitude of sin. Not just a little bit, but all of it. You're forgiven.
That's Mike McIntosh closing a study about the judgment of God. It's significant to notice that in the midst of the total devastation recorded in Revelation chapter 16, we're told that the angels cry out about the holy justice of God. God's warning about coming judgment are clear and constant. Everyone will perish who does not take advantage of the salvation offered by Jesus Christ.
Perhaps today's teaching has been especially valuable to you, and you may want more spiritual direction at this time. Let me suggest that you log on to our website and look under the Know God link to find immediate instruction on a number of fundamental spiritual issues. Just go online at mikemackintosh.com. Chapter and Verse is a listener-supported ministry, so if the Lord places it on your heart to help fund this program on your station, please write to us at Chapter and Verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, it's Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Next time, as we continue our series through Revelation, we'll take a look at the destruction of Babylon the Great. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.